720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. Very lucky to have Tim Reed on the phone with us this evening. Tim, welcome to WGN.
My pleasure. My pleasure to be back at WGN.
It's been a while. Tim is known for, amongst other things, WKRP in Cincinnati, Venus Flytrap, Simon & Simon, Frank's Place, a whole bunch of stuff. But that's not what we're here to talk about, actually. We're here to talk about a documentary that Tim's a part of called Live at Mr. Kelly's. And I watched the movie today, Tim, and it's awesome. And it brings up Mr. Kelly's, the London House, the Pussycat, the Happy Medium, the Pussycat a Go-Go. I mean, talk about being an entertainment center. But, you know,
those were the days.
Yeah. And of course, you were half of the comedy team with Tom Dreesen. And that's a very well-known era around the Chicago community. So let me tell you, Tim, you know the London House, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what was that? That's right next to the, it was right in the first floor of the Stone Container Building.
Mm-hmm.
And up on the fifth floor was a radio station I worked for. And I worked nights. And I worked 6 to 10. And one day, I was given a note that a new person was going to come in named Daphne Maxwell. And I went, what? Where does she work? Where does she work? Oh, she doesn't work anywhere. She's the homecoming queen at Northwestern. I said, what? And yeah, Daphne came in and I believe had her initial broadcast after I was off the air. She was delightful, as you obviously know.
Yeah. Back in the day,
She
was the first black homecoming queen in the history of Northwestern.
Right. So, and you know, that sort of is a transition to what a lot of this film is about, and that is inclusion and diversity, whether it was race, gender, you name it. Everyone was included at all of these venues, and that is really a testament not only to the venue itself, but I was thinking about it. It's a testament also to the people who were in the audience at the London House and those types of venues, because they were ready for it. And this is all George and Oscar Marienthal's work that started originally with their father. And fill us in on how you came to know about Mr. Kelly's and actually eventually perform there.
Yeah, not only then the Marienthal's work, but their boldness.
Yeah.
You know, something that I use, and whenever I do documentaries about culture or history, it's something that we don't teach much in school. We don't pay much attention to. Now, everything is so opinionated in news and everything. It's called context.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for a good joke to work or a story well written or a book, you got to have some sense of context in the era, the time, the dress, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So all the things that you said, for that to be happening in Chicago during the times from the early 50s up through 1975 is amazing, because there was so much going on in Chicago at that time. You know, you had all organized crime, you had race issues, you had so much going on around that area that here's this little oasis, a little small block and a half oasis where it was unique in this country, where you could have multiracial entertainment, you would have integrated audiences, you would have all of these things watching things that outside of it, a few blocks away, a mile in either direction, you would not see. And for them to have that kind of boldness to do that is a tremendous accomplishment. Also, it has a major effect on the development of entertainment and stars. Think of all the people who went through there, Dick Gregory, Barbra Streisand, you name all of that. This was one of the few places that they could work. They couldn't do it in Vegas. They couldn't do it in a lot of the other places. But this was one of the places. Once they left New York, the only other place that you could do that in was Chicago and the venues, in particular, Mr. Kelly. Mm-hmm. So as a young person coming to Chicago, knowing that a place like that, what got my attention the first time I got here in 69, I got there, I should say, in 69, was the fact that on New Year's Eve, I pick up the newspaper, and Richard Pryor is appearing at this club called Mr. Kelly's. I'd never heard of it, didn't know anything about it. I'd only been in town a few months. And I pulled together some clothes and got there and took my wife. We went down to get into Mr. Kelly's on New Year's Eve without reservations. How we managed to do it is amazing, but we got it, saw the club. Got in there, saw Richard Pryor, the first time I had been in my nightclub in my entire life, and certainly anything of this quality. And I watched Richard Pryor, and I said to my wife, I want to do that, and I want to do it on that stage. And lo and behold, 5 years later, 6 years later, oh, actually sooner than that, my partner Tom and I were performing on that stage. And then I was the last comic to do New Year's Eve on that stage before it closed. That's an amazing dream capture to me.
Absolutely. And I think when you watch this documentary, which is going to be at the Gene Siskel Film Center, and it's coming up this weekend. We'll give you details in a few minutes. Yeah. You get the social context of all of this. You know, I went to Mr. Kelly's a few times. I had a great time there. I think I saw Bette Midler and Barry Manilow, and who else did I see there? Well, it slips my mind right now, but at any rate, I never thought about it. I mean, you know, I never thought about, well, this is a racially mixed audience. How about that? Lily Tomlin, Lily Tomlin, that's who else I went to see at Mr. Kelly's. And Lily Tomlin is also in the movie, as are just about everybody that, I mean, the thing, the movie starts off with Barbara Streisand, and she's just specifically talking about Mr. Kelly's. But when you look at all the news that went on at that time, the new what happened during the 60s and what happened in Chicago in 1968 and the assassination of Martin Luther King and all of that, and you put juxtapose that with Mr. Kelly's and the London House, it's quite amazing in a lot of different ways.
It really is.
On a lot of different levels.
There's never been anything like it, and probably never will be again. It was just a club. It had an aura about it. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. I've traveled the world, and I've been in clubs in Paris and London and Africa, and, you know, they're great clubs, but Mr. Kelly's had a certain aura about it. You know, I don't know how to explain it. It, but you knew when you went in there, you were going to see something good. You were going to see, you know, it was an atmosphere that even as a performer, I mean, the first time Tom and I went in there, oh, my God, we were so scared of all. Oh, my goodness. It was just, God, awful in the pain and fear. And when we got that laugh and we finished and we got some laughs and we left that stage on a cloud. I mean, we had done it at Mr. Kelly's. Every performer that I'd ever spoken to after that, I mean, we opened for Earl Garner. We opened for, you name it, we opened for Della Reese, Sarah Vaughan, and all these performers, whenever we talked or everything and Mr. Kelly's come up, you could always see a certain relaxed smile. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't think of anybody who I ever spoke to, black or white, that didn't smile when they thought of Mr. Kelly. You didn't hear those stories about, those people did this or they did that. No. You always get that smile with recognition. We all wanted to be at Mr. Kelly's as performers. Every star. You couldn't become a hit in America at that time and not having touched that ground on Mr. Kelly's. It was just part of the thing. You work New York, you do Mr. Kelly's, you do Vegas, and then, you know, there weren't that many clubs in L.A., but you get on television. But Mr. Kelly's was the center of the heart of the entertainment business, being located where it was. And Chicago was a great great town to start a career.
We're talking to Tim Reed, who is part of a documentary called Live at Mr. Kelly's, which will be at the Gene Siskel Film Center. And we'll talk about that and some more when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker with Tim Reed, a movie documentary called Live at Mr. Kelly's. We'll be at the Gene Siskel Film Center this weekend on Friday at 6:30. And then afterwards, there's a Q&A, which has, let's see, the director, the editor, David Marenthal, who's the executive producer, and Rick Kogan. And Saturday, look at this. There's a show at 6:30 with a question and answer afterwards with Tim Reed. How about that?
Yes, I'll be there. I haven't been in Chicago in quite a few years.
When was the last time?
It's been about 4 or 5 years since I've been in Chicago at all, yeah. I miss Chicago.
Oh, it's a great place.
It's a good town.
You were talking about there was no place to go in L.A. There was no, you know, there was limited exposure for stand-up comics specifically, which I think...
It was worse for stand-up comics.
Right, which I think is one of the things that Mr. Kelly's made popular was stand-up comics, stand-up comedy, period. I mean...
Well, the format. And then a singer or singer, then
right.
a comic. That format was later brought into the Playboy circuit.
Right.
I'm sure that's where they got that concept of show banking. Because again, you could see anywhere, anyone from Dick Gregory, Richard Pryor, Nipsey Russell, I mean, Jackie Vernon. I mean, you could go there
Not only the racial equality, but also the content. When you had people like Mort Saul and Shelley Berman come on, these were people who did straight political stuff right out of the newspaper, stuff that you could not do today at all. And they were hysterical. And then there was this fire in 1955, I believe, and then they rebuilt it. And one of the things that was a positive of that outcome was this new sound system. And that led to the recording of albums. I mean, it's just crazy how important this place is in the history of U.S. entertainment. I mean, it's just astounding.
It's a wonderful documentary because it says that, and it's long overdue. I mean, we're losing so much of the old school nature of show business and entertainment. And I'm glad that this will be around. Even after it shows, it'll be around in DVD. It'll have a theatrical release later in September. And I think it's important, especially for young performers, to get a sense of the path of stardom for so many other people. Because, you know, we in these local markets, we look down on a lot of the stuff around us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for somebody in Chicago who wanted to be in show business, if you had the opportunity to perform and either the London House, I mean, that's the home of Ramsey Lewis.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
My God, it was the place.
I got to tell you,
I
got another little, WLS was on the fifth floor. And when you got off the elevator in the lobby, you weren't outside the building. And there was a door that led into the London House. So we'd come down, open that door and just walk in and see everybody. I can't tell you how many times, and it was a trade that the radio station, in exchange for commercial announcements or something, would have Mr. Kelly, not Mr. Kelly's, I'm sorry, the London House as part of the clients. And one night, that trade was overused. Let's just put it that way. And they put the kibosh on that relationship in a hurry. But yeah, Ramsey Lewis and gosh, I'm trying to remember who else. The whole
Les McCann.
Yeah, my God.
Eddie Harris.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Great jazz.
And, you know, they did the thing with the rock and roll, too, over at the, what was the name of that? The Pussycat Lounge. And they brought in, and also the Happy Medium. And members of... what went on to be the band Chicago were down there in that Pussycat Lounge with the Pussycat A-Go-Go. And, you know, the legendary performers, the comics, the singers, the musicians, it's just outstanding, just outstanding.
It was a very unique format of entertainment that they put together, the Marathons. And like I said, it stands out among any city.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, I could put it right up again. Even New York, I would put up, you know, when you look at, again, the context of the time and what was happening in show business. I remember when Bette Midler came to Chicago for the first time. She had just been seen. She was working the bathhouses in New York.
Right.
And this was the first major club that would allow her to come in.
Mm.
And I remember it vividly, her performance that night when she came to Chicago and was at Mr. Kelly's.
You know,
everybody wanted to be there, that's
yeah.
for sure.
When you hear about things and you're not a part of that city, you get this sort of mental image, like Johnny Carson. If somebody was on and going to Mr. Kelly's, they'd say, well, they'll be at Mr. Kelly's. On every show, everywhere, if somebody was going to Mr. Kelly's, oh, they're going to Mr. Kelly's.
Yeah.
I was here,
yeah.
so I saw it. But what yeah. I'm talking about is, like, there was this place in New York called the Upstairs at the Downstairs, which I heard about
yes.
a few times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I went there and I went, God, this place is small. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
in comparison to the
yeah.
image, and the same thing, I think it's very true of what we're talking about here. You know, I think that the Mr. Kelly's was a very intimate, if that's the right word, venue.
Yeah, yeah. It was, but it was, you know, it was set up for entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, you a lot of clubs, they were makeshift, you know, they had nice performers come in. But it wasn't structured for that. It may have been a restaurant or something. But when they rebuilt Mr. Kelly's at the fire, and what they put in there, like you say, the sound system and all
mm-hmm.
of that,
mm-hmm.
it was just perfect for entertainment. And like all clubs, you come down through the kitchen, you know.
Yep.
That's how we walked on stage.
the documentary is called Live at Mr. Kelly's. It'll be at the Gene Siskel Film Center. You can get tickets at www.siskelfilmcenter.org. Thanks for being with us, Tim. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You
I
bet.
I appreciate the opportunity.